Hi folks, this is Tony for the A Minute to Midnight show with an update on a couple of things that I think are quite important for people to grasp, and so I wanted to bring you this video. Now, it may be that I have to have a slightly longer break before the next video after this. I've got some surgery. I'll be in hospital for a couple of days. And so at the end of this week, and then I'll need a bit of a recovery time, so maybe a bit longer before I put another show out after this. But please make sure that you like and share this video, and remember that A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. If you can help by donating, it's always much appreciated. And please also subscribe to us on our various platforms, particularly our website, YouTube channel, and iTunes channels. Now, anyone that's followed this channel for any length of time should know that I believe we are in the end times and heading towards the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, and that it's happening rather rapidly. That Revelation chapter 13 is not too far away, I think. There's a lot of other things, of course, to happen that we will see through prophetic books in the Bible, the Revelation and the various writings such as Matthew 24 and Daniel and so on. And I'm believing that a lot of what is happening now is rapidly putting us into the picture to fulfill those scriptures. And so, in a way, I just want to highlight a couple of things that are heading us in that direction in this video that I think we cannot afford to ignore. So first off, I want to bring to your attention an article by Patrick Wood, and it's titled, What? Most AI has now been written by AI. This supercharges AI developments by orders of magnitude. Patrick Wood has been tracking what appears to be a reasonably predictable pattern in AI development, a doubling of capability roughly every 3.5 months. AI systems are no longer just tools that humans use to build AI, but active participants in building themselves. The question now is what happens when a system that rewrites its own code, runs its own experiments, and optimizes its own training recipes starts doing so faster than any human team could direct it. For example, as of May 2026, Anthropic confirmed that more than 80% of the code merged into its own production systems was written by Claude, its own AI. Not assisted by Claude, but written by Claude. Google reported in early 2026 that 75% of all new code at the company is AI-generated, up from 25% in 2024. The 3.5-month doubling was a data point describing yesterday's trajectory. RSI means that the trajectory is now self-modifying. The curve is not just bending upward, it is bending the conditions that determine how fast it bends. The machine is rewriting itself. Now, there's a lot more in that article, and it's pretty freaky, I'll be honest, just how fast AI is going towards general intelligence. And for those that don't know, RSI, which was mentioned there, is recursive self-improvement, and it's a process in which early artificial general intelligence systems rewrite their own computer code, causing an intelligence explosion resulting from enhancing their own capabilities and intellectual capacity, and theoretically resulting in super intelligence. So that is pretty concerning, and I will get to more on this AI stuff in a minute. If we couple that with another thing that's going on, which is flock cameras, and from a bit of an article that was from the Wise Wolf, I'll read parts of it, and there was a lot more in that Patrick Wood article, by the way. But it says about flock cameras, we are building an East Berlin-style surveillance state in America, one camera at a time, and your city council is paying for it with your money. The Stasi, East Germany's secret police, kept files on a third of their own country. Doing it took 90,000 employees and a nation of informants ratting out their neighbours, and it stands as one of the most complete tyrannies ever constructed over human beings. And the wise wolf says, my generation grew up being told that that machine was the reason that we were the good guys, meaning Americans and so on, in the West in general. We didn't file our citizens. But now with flock cameras, this is just America, their own brag is 20 billion vehicle scans a month, more than 5,000 communities, 49 states, every scan stamped with a time and place, stored for 30 days, searchable from any cop's laptop, and your town's cameras are not your town's cameras. Flock admitted to Senator Ron Wyden that 75% of its police customers joined something called the National Lookup Tool, meaning a deputy in Texas pulls a month of your movements in Pennsylvania without asking a soul in Pennsylvania, one login, one country, one file on everybody. The Stasi would have wept at such elegance. And while that file gets fatter every day, our ruling class stares across the Pacific at China, where the cameras feed a social credit system that decides who boards a train and whose bank account works this week and whether their reaction has been not been horror, it's been envy. Every piece of that machine is being assembled here, he's talking about America, right now in the open, and the license plate cameras going up on your street are its skeleton. On paper, the Flock Group Incorporated is a private company from the Atlanta suburbs founded in 2017 with a cute origin story about three guys and a neighborhood burglar that they trot out at every council meeting. 9 years later, it's valued at $8.4 billion. And clearing $300 million a year. CEO Grant Langley says the mission is to eliminate crime, not reduce, eliminate. When a man promises to eliminate sin itself, hold your wallet and count your rights, because a mission like that has no natural stopping point. Every camera that fails to eliminate crime becomes the argument for the next camera. So now, among others that are on this Flock group, Peter Thiel is on the Founders Fund and is on the ownership roster of the Flock Group. And remember, Peter Thiel is the guy, or Thiel, however he wants to pronounce it, is also the guy behind Palantir as well. And the headquarters that Flock lists publicly is an empty building. It's a decoy, and their real offices are somewhere you're not told, because the people logging your every move have decided their location is sensitive, so you can't even find out where they exactly are. So China wired itself with millions of cameras feeding their system, actually named Skynet, which we know from the Terminator movies what that's all about, and welded to social credit. It works like this: fall below the line, sue the wrong official, attend the wrong church, post the wrong sentence, and the apparatus quietly switches off your life. Tens of millions blacklisted from planes and trains, bank accounts frozen without trial. Every component of a similar system is already on American soil. The cameras are Flock. The data fusion is Palantir. The choke point is the march to a cashless society where cutting a man from his own money is one field and one record. And we know they're moving towards that, and with the digital currencies and so on. So, yes, that is definitely a concern, the cameras. And, of course, it's not just Flock cameras in America. There's the cameras all over the world in many places being installed rapidly, and it's all part of this digital surveillance system. Okay, so the brains behind these data centers are the billionaire class, and we will look at some of them in a minute. And of course, the apparatus they're using largely that's being built everywhere that we have big concerns about are the data centers, and I want to look at some information regarding those at the moment. The Epoch Times reported an article: 142 anti-data center protests sweep 42 states in one day, led by former Tea Party leader. So opponents of the build-out of data centers held 142 protests across 42 states on Saturday, coordinated by a former leader of the modern Tea Party movement. The protests were coordinated by Humans First, which was co-founded by Amy Cremer, who is also the co-founder of Women for Trump, though Cremer has described the movement as a nonpartisan and has criticized Republicans for giving big tech a free pass on data centers. They just woke up one day and found out they're going to have this monstrosity in their community and they don't want it, said Cremer, who predicted data centers would be a defining issue in November's midterm elections and the 2028 presidential race. Today, 142 communities across 42 states stood together to send a simple message. Americans deserve a voice before big tech reshapes their communities. This was never about politics, humans first said in a July 18th post on X. Okay, so that's one side of things. And notice it was someone who was a Trump supporter. And of course, Trump is the biggest pusher of this whole thing since he's been in office. But if you counter that with this article at AmericanGreatness.com, which is also very much in that MAGA movement vein, the new American Industrial Revolution runs on data centers. American technological infrastructure is a building block for our modern lives, says this article. Data centers are not some side issue or a fringe zoning dispute. They account for a significant part of the physical foundation of the American economy. See, they're building a case why we're going to need these data centers, absolutely need them. So back to the article. They are the functional infrastructure that can put the United States in a position to re-industrialize and onshore our economy while allowing us to have the tools we need to compete with China. The loudest forces working to stop that build-out fall into exactly two categories, and here they go, they're going to dismiss anyone that's against the data centres. People who are simply misinformed about what these facilities actually do, and people who are being actively used, wittingly or not, to psyop American communities into fighting against their own country's interests. Moreover, some of the loudest grassroots opposition to data centres isn't grassroots at all. An investigation by the Bitcoin Policy Institute traced a network of activist nonprofits founded by Neville Roy Singham, an American businessman who sold his consulting company for $785 million and moved in 2017 to Shanghai, China, working alongside Chinese state media outlets to push the same message. Stop American AI infrastructure. See, so what they're doing here is telling you, oh, no. If you're against the data centers, you're a leftist, you're a communist, you're a Chinese supporter, you're holding back America's progress. Therefore, we have to have these data centers. And if you're against them, you're in the wrong. You're either misinformed or you're working for the Chinese. So you see, this is how it's being spun. And this type of rhetoric is coming also from people like Trump himself, who has said, one of the biggest driving forces in the future for jobs are data centers. They are big, strong, bold, and money machines for the states in which they are built. Now listen to this. This is from Trump. The radical left Democrats must not be allowed to cause us to lose data centers, AI and all of this incredible new technology to China and other countries, signed President Donald J. Trump. You see, so you're a radical left-winger if you're not in favour of data centres. That's how it's being spun. Remember that on his second day in office of his latest term, that Trump announced Project Stargate, allocating $500 billion over the next 4 years to SoftBank, Sam Altman's OpenAI and Larry Ellison's Oracle to build AI infrastructure across the United States. And OpenAI and CEO Sam Altman posted last month a claim that Chinese-led propaganda campaigns are what is driving the opposition to data centers and made pledges to censor content that is being used to dissuade against data centers and Trump's economic policies. So you can see how they're using this to push the AI agenda and say that anyone that's against it is basically like a left-wing lunatic or some sort of fringe person and so on. And this is why I can't see these data centers stopping, or at the race for AI and robots stopping. It's only going to keep going, and it's keep going faster no matter how much people protest. For example, here's from Zero Hedge. Just the beginning. Japan buys billions in NVIDIA Rubin chips to power humanoid robots. Japan plans to acquire 27,500 NVIDIA Rubin chips as part of a $2.4 billion government-backed push to develop domestic humanoid robotic models and reduce its dependence on foreign AI. Bloomberg reports that the newly formed Nutra Corporation will oversee the project and build an estimated 140 megawatt data center scheduled to begin operating in about 2 years. SoftBank, that's that same one that Trump funded. NEC, Fujitsu and Toyota-backed Preferred Networks are among the top companies supporting the domestic AI push, which seeks to consolidate Japan's fragmented AI program under one roof, or programs under one roof. Bloomberg quoted NVIDIA CEO Justin Huang as saying that Japan will require significantly more data centers, power infrastructure, and computing capacity to compete with the US and China, calling the Nutra project just the beginning. We're going to be building a lot more infrastructure here, Jensen said. This is just the beginning. And the Wine Press, Substack.com, reported this. AI bubble. US companies and tech firms are switching to cheaper Chinese AI models as American costs surge. The colloquial AI bubble, as it has been called, is coming under further pressure after it has been revealed a growing number of large American companies and tech firms are quietly no longer using domestic American AI models and are switching to cheaper Chinese models instead, as the use cost of American models are increasing. Futurism reported, as corporate AI bills spiral out of control, many companies are beginning to ask themselves a simple question: why pay a pretty penny for US's leading AI models when Chinese ones are far cheaper? Major companies like DoorDash, Airbnb, and Siemens are adopting Chinese AI tools, and the Financial Times reports attracted not only by their lower costs, but their open weight approach that allows them to be molded to each company's particular needs. So there you go. See, there's this, oh no, we've got to watch out because China's going to beat us in the race for AI. And the same thing is happening here in New Zealand. So let's just look at New Zealand very briefly. Here's an article from, a little bit of an article, from radionewzealand.co.nz. AI illiterate. New Zealand at risk of being left behind as data centres plans move forward. A new $3.5 billion data centre that will be built near Invercargill is being touted as the country's first artificial intelligence factory, but a tech expert says New Zealand is currently AI illiterate, and without urgent action, the country's economic growth is at stake. Data Grid New Zealand has received resource consent for a 78,000 square metre data centre which will be built at Makariwa north of Invercargill. See, so they're using that same thing. New Zealand, if you don't get these big data centres, you'll be left behind economically. But, according to The Guardian, a lot of red flags. Plan for New Zealand's first AI data centre spark concerns as locals demand greater transparency. People living near the site of New Zealand's first planned AI data centre are calling for more transparency about the project, especially about how the centre's huge electricity and water use and potential noise pollution could affect them. The Singapore-based company, so here we go, it's offshore, it's not actually a New Zealand company, it's Data Grid from a Singapore-based company, has secured approval for the $3.5 billion that's $2 billion AI data center on a 49-hectare site in Makariwa, just north of New Zealand's southernmost city, Invercargill. Construction is due to begin this year, with the center becoming operational by 2028. and the facility will be used for AI training, processing and data storage, and will serve global AI and cloud providers. So it's global, it's not really New Zealand, it's global, serving the globalists, says the company's website. Data Grid also plans to build a high-speed internet cable between Invercargill and Australia. The centre in Makarewa will become New Zealand's second largest electricity user after the Tiwai Point aluminium smelter, using 280 megawatts of electricity. So New Zealand's not exempt from this either. Okay, so let's not be deceived about what these data centres are really all about and why people are protesting, not just because they're left-wing lunatics, but because there's a lot of environmental damage, obviously, but wider than that, there's a scary lot of ramifications of what these data centres are. Here's another bit of some of an article from The Wise Wolf, and it's called The Jetsons George Orwell Edition. They are not building city-sized brains to make your shopping list. Nobody builds a data center the size of Manhattan to generate shopping lists and Facebook memes. These facilities are the brains for tens of millions of humanoid robots. And it's talking now about Elon Musk. Elon Musk did not invent the idea of engineers running the world instead of elected governments. His grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, was a leader of Technocracy Incorporated in Canada in the 1930s and 40s, an actual movement with grey uniform salutes, membership numbers instead of names, that want to abolish politicians and hand North America to a council of technical experts running everything as one giant engineering project. Canada banned the organization in 1940. Haldeman got arrested for it, and this is not a rumor, it's a court record. 60 years ago, the tech did not exist to pull it off. The believers did what believers do, they waited. So, forward to Elon Musk. Musk, standing at MIT in 2014, warning that with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. The guy in the story with the pentagram and the holy water, who is sure he can control the thing, he said that out loud on video, and then he built Colossus anyway, twice powered by methane turbines that are gassing a Memphis neighborhood as we speak. When a man tells you he's summoning a demon and builds a demon summoning machine, then starts building a bigger one before the first is even paid off, at some point the burden of proof flips. Now do the math on what is being built. These machines drink millions of gallons of water a day and swallow power by the gigawatt every day forever, and they are multiplying. A Meta facility in Georgia already dried up the taps of people living next to it. There's a lot more again in that article, but you get the point. Elon Musk's grandfather wanted a technocracy rule of the world. And Elon Musk, his grandson, is now putting together the infrastructure to do it. And he is one of the billionaire class, and there are many others doing it as well. Okay, so let's move on from looking at data centers to another subject, which is pretty important and concerning at the moment. And that is the situation with war, particularly the Iran war, but also the Ukraine-Russia war, and how things are likely to affect us all in the very near future, and why I believe we need to be prepared. This comes from Michael Snyder at the economiccollapseblog.com. It's just part of the article. It's titled, "We are being warned that global oil inventories are close to nothing as we plunge into the most severe oil crisis in history. The only way that we were going to avoid a historical in an oil crisis was if a diplomatic solution could be found to end the war in the Middle East. Obviously, that did not happen. The Memorandum of Understanding has completely failed, and the US and Iran are hitting one another really hard. The Strait of Hormuz is going to be closed for the foreseeable future, and now it appears that Bab el-Mandeb Strait will be closed as well. Global oil inventories have been falling for months, and now we have reached a stage where we are going to experience some really severe pain. The world has been running on an oil deficit for months. Now the Strait of Hormuz is closed again, and the Houthis could soon shut down the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. The Strait of Hormuz and the Bab al-Mandeb Strait have never been shut at the same time, and if that actually happens, energy prices will go absolutely nuts. Meanwhile, relentless strikes on Russian refineries have caused an insane gasoline shortage in Russia. See, so all the energy structures are being targeted, and that's going to affect all of us, and also fertilizer prices and so forth. So expect food shortages as well as energy shortages and price hikes and things coming up. So this war doesn't show any sign of ending in the near future at all. It's escalating. Now, the next part of what I'm going to say may make some people feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to just say it as I see it. I have said for a long time that I believe the world must go through a period of major crisis before they can bring in fully the New World Order, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, whatever you want to call it, the beast system. And people like Alice Bailey have said in her writings going back way back to the 1920s that this has to happen, and the United Nations was largely founded and still does work along the beliefs of Alice Bailey and the New Age movement. And so what I want to say here is, as we see war unfolding more and more amongst other things in an energy crisis and so forth, we are led, I think, back to having to consider how much of this is orchestrated and how much of it is naturally occurring. And no one of us can fully know the extent of it, because there will be factions, and always different belief systems and people fighting one another and not in unity. But somehow under Lucifer, I believe there is a unity of direction as to what they are trying to take us towards. And of course, God is firmly overall in control, I believe, and nothing happens outside of his timing. But when you consider things like the New Age movement, the Luciferians, Freemasonry, and the ancient Babylonian mystery schools, you can look, for example, at three things I want to show you here, and then you weigh up how much of this war is orchestrated and how much of it's natural. It's been covered many times, the Masonic influence in Washington, D.C., in the architecture, also the U.S. dollar and the pyramid with the eye, the all-seeing eye, how Masonic this is. And the Masons themselves have admitted that it's Masonic. It's Illuminati symbolism. I've covered to you before many times how the Supreme Court in Israel is designed completely in Masonic proportions, and design was under Jacob Rothschild's financial provision and determination as to how that Supreme Court building should be built. In other words, there's a lot of Illuminati and Masonic symbolism there, and that's in Israel, as well as in America and many other places. But I'm sure many people didn't realize, and even I didn't realize this until recently, how the parliament buildings in Iran, in Tehran, are also laid out Masonically. So when you look at this and you think, okay, so how much are the Masons, how much are the Illuminists orchestrating the war if they've had massive influence in all of the three main players? And of course, lots of others as well, but I'm just looking at those three right now. So the Islamic Consultative Assembly in Tehran, at the Baharistan complex in central Tehran, is one of the most distinctive civic structures in Iran. It was designed by Palmyre consultants under the direction of Abdul Reza Dokhani, and the building features a striking triangular pyramid form clad in stone rising from the administrative building at 45 meters to the Commission's building level. So what we can also see in this building are 33 windows. Now, most should know that 33 is a Masonic number without question. So that is really obvious on the outside. It's a pyramid with 33 windows. Okay, there you go. That's so, so ancient mystery school. It's not funny. But then we also have in the main hall, which accommodates nearly 300 members and was seating for 800 spectators, a strip of light at the intersection of the two roof wings serves as both an expansion joint and a source of delicate natural illumination, covered with 3 to 12 meter glass panels. So what makes that interesting to me is the fact that it's an ascending light pattern, which is very much the Luciferian pattern, similar to other buildings. And with this also Osiris rising, which comes from ancient Egyptian mythology, where Osiris, a god of resurrection and afterlife, rises after death. And in some Freemasonry and occult theories, the X or crossed arms gesture symbolizes this resurrection or hidden power. It is seeming to be there in this building in Tehran. And also, if you look at it, there's that classic as above, so below pattern, which is also very much linked to Freemasonry and the occult in general. And I've covered that many times in the past. So you figure out for yourselves what you think. How much is this more than coincidence? And when we see wars happening with these players, who are calling the shots behind the war and what is the reason for it? So that's pretty much all I wanted to cover in this update. As I mentioned at the beginning, I may be a little bit longer between shows since I'm having surgery in 2 days and I'll need some recovery time. And I also mentioned if you want to help through donating, that's always much appreciated since we have a lot of expenses at the moment as well. And you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. Please remember to subscribe to us and also to like and share this video. That would be very much appreciated. And prayers are always much appreciated too. So God bless and God willing, we'll be back with another episode once I am ready again.